Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Banging Book Club, the book club where we talk about sexy books. And then we make a video and a podcast about it. I am Lena Norms.
I'm Lucy Moon.
And I'm Hannah Witten.
And this month we read...
Sorry, I've got a cough. Lolita!
By Vladimir Nabokov.
Nabokov. Are we saying Nabokov?
Nabokov?
Nabokov. This month we have Hannah, who has read how much of the book?
All of it.
The whole pie. What a Ravenclaw.
I read all of it.
I'm not a Ravenclaw! I'm literally wearing a Hufflepuff jumper
right
now.
Well, you've been being really Ravenclaw recently, okay?
I have read 90% of it. I was 40 pages away from the end, reading it as I was walking here, and then I read the synopsis, so super sad about the ending.
Lucy, how much did you?
Lucy's been having...
A month.
Oh, have I been having a month?
The tide is high, but she's holding on.
Oh, I really am.
I realised that song is definitely about periods. I just had a revelation yesterday.
Oh my God.
The tide is high, but I'm holding on. I'm gonna be your tampon.
What?
I'm not the kind of girl.
Sorry.
This month we read Lolita, and what has been the tradition in the Banging Book Club sector is that we do a noise review. Hannah, would you like to start?
Sorry, that took me so long.
No, there was like, you were like building up to the disgust. Lucy, you...
That's about how much of it I read.
A little squeak. And my noise review is...
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I mean, not
pornography.
Now's the disclaimer of when we say... We're not going to justify every single time we say something to make sure it's not us endorsing paedophilia. Because I feel like that was all that noise was.
And we've been
doing that all evening. So just so you know, none of us endorse paedophilia.
Nobody in this room thinks it's okay.
No. And nobody thinks the contents of the book is okay.
Yeah.
But I think we should maybe go back and to the podcast about perv.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Just FYI, in terms of the morality around paedophilia.
Okay.
More complex things going on there, but let's get into what the fuck happens in Lolita and what that book is about,
so
just in case you haven't read it.
I would like to talk about our expectations of it and then maybe do a brief summary for those who haven't read it. What's it about? What did you think it was about, Hannah? Can you think back to a time?
Yeah. So my knowledge of Lolita from just like pop culture in general was it's about a man that falls in love with a 12-year-old girl called Lolita and hilarity ensues. No.
and there's just a white wedding at the end, right?
Imagine.
And they get their white picket fence.
Lucy mentioned this off podcast, but I was the same as you. I kind of thought that it was just a book of his longing.
Yeah.
That's kind of like
and
what I thought
fulfilled.
It was. Yeah.
And this was reinforced by Goodreads. So people on Goodreads who told us not to read Lolita because it wasn't about sex... I have words to have with you.
What are you defining as sex?
Yeah.
There was plenty of it in this book. Or at least referred to.
Non-consensual. I think I had a very similar thing to you in that actually I didn't really get a lot from other people that had read it. Like, I know a lot of people that have read it, but all I've got was people going, oh, it's so beautifully written. And I'm like, isn't that the book about paedophilia? And people are like, oh, it's so beautiful. They do that with their hands.
Yeah,
you know, people are like, oh.
A friend of mine who read it, like, didn't quite do that, but was very much like, saying that the way that it was written, she said she was conflicted because it makes you, like, root for him and feel sorry for him. And I was like, it made what? Like, I didn't feel any of that through any of it.
Yeah. He's a totally an impossible character to sympathize with.
Well, I think the book is trying to challenge that. I didn't see through it, though. I was like, you
know, I think it was quite simplistic in that way. I don't think you could have sympathized. I don't know. In summary, if we can summarize such a tumultuous book, key points of Alita.
Can I start?
You start, Lucy.
Okay. So there's a man called Humbert, who is a very attractive man, according to him, and a very smart man, and he's a lecturer. And then he, when he's a lot younger, he talks about in this memoir he's written about how he fell in love with a girl when he was the same age as her.
Yeah.
Called?
Annabelle. They were 13, I think.
Yeah. And then
they were kids, yeah.
She dumped him.
She died.
Okay. She died. And then ever since then, he's been infatuated with nymphettes, who are girls between, like, yeah, the ages of 11 to 14. And they have a certain quality to them, only some of them, that he finds attractive.
Yeah. And when he first meets Lolita, he's almost projecting Annabelle onto her.
Not even almost, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But then she becomes her own.
He also speaks about nymphettes like he's the only person that knows the criteria. And he's like, I know when I see one. They don't know they are, but I know they are. It's like a fine wine. He's like, I've been trained in this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gross. And then what happens, guys?
Then, Lucy?
Then he gets a new job and he moves in with a lady called Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And she has a daughter called, oh my God, what's her name in the
Dolores
book?
Hayes.
Dolores Hayes. And the book chronicles his love of Dolores, who he nicknames Lolita. And does anyone want to go on a bit more
up,
about that?
Yeah.
So Humbert marries Charlotte so he can stay close to Lolita. Charlotte dies in an accident after she finds out that from reading his diary that he's actually in love with Lolita. So she's dead. And then Humbert basically kidnaps Lolita and they travel on a road trip across America together whilst he continually rapes her in various motels and hotels. And then he enrolls her into a school and he starts getting suspicious and paranoid about her like having relationships with other boys. And she's like a teenager at this point. And then he takes her out of the school and they go travelling again. And then Lolita gets ill and taken to a hospital. And then she gets re-kidnapped by some other person from the hospital. And then he's all on his own searching for her for 2 years until he gets a letter from her being like, oh, hey, Dad, I'm pregnant and married. Can we have some money? And then he goes and sees her and then he goes and murders the guy that kidnapped her. The end.
And then we find him in prison, and that's where he's writing.
Yeah,
he's awaiting trial. That's how it's all framed.
But you find he dies before his trial.
Yeah.
And then Lolita dies in childbirth, was something we discovered.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I just wanted to talk very briefly, because I don't think we could ever cover how damaged he is in one podcast, the main character, and what we hear from his perspective. Because what's really interesting is that actually the whole book is framed as a report, as a real thing that's happened. It is a manuscript that's been delivered to this man from a university.
Yeah, like a doctorate
PhD. And he's like, hey, this guy is really in prison. I know that what he's done is really wrong, but he sent me this manuscript and I actually think it's really well written. Here it is. And that's how the book starts. Obviously fictional. But it's framed in this way of like, hi, we've already given you permission to know that this is wrong, but here's a fun story. So, and then the rest of the book is all told from Hubert's perspective.
Humbert?
Humbert.
I think.
Humbert.
What should we call him?
I don't know. Call him a bad man.
Yeah. The bad man. I didn't realise going into it that it was written from first person, but then I think it's interesting how occasionally he refers to himself in the third person.
Yeah. When he's doing something completely untoward, he kind of goes into third person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, you're seeing everything through his eyes. Yeah. By seeing everything through his eyes, it means you just don't get any sense of really how it's affecting Lolita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see how he thinks it might be affecting her, and you get glimpses into it. But other than that,
you only see what Lolita feels when he sympathises with her, which is rarely.
Yeah. It is the case of the unreliable narrator.
Yeah, it's really like...
He is the ultimate unreliable narrator.
The Telltale Heart at school? No. Where it's this crazy man, it's like an Edgar Allan Poe story, and this is crazy man who can hear heartbeats in the walls, and then you realise that he's killed people and put them in the walls. It's like that. It's like a slow demise into madness.
It's like the yellow wallpaper. Did you ever read the yellow wallpaper?
Yes, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going crazy.
Yeah. So in that way, I actually really did not enjoy the book. I'm going to say that right at the beginning, do not rate. And part of that, I think, is because he is obviously so insane... That all of the plot points are lost to his absolute madness. Like it's indecipherable. Like you're not really sure.
I wasn't sure what was going on.
There was no pacing. I think because he's so crazy.
Yeah, I grasped onto like the main plot points, but I got lost through a lot of it. I was just like, wait, what's happening? And
when
we're
all talking about things, we're kind of like, did that happen? Was it? Did she die?
Or was that in his head? Like,
yeah,
because he gets really paranoid and thinks that someone's following them, but then. As the reader, you're questioning everything. You're like, is he actually seeing someone? Or is that just, like, in his head? Is he just, like, super paranoid? And then, like, the way that he talks about his love for Lolita, I find really interesting. And I want to discuss a bit. Because he's, like, the way that he professes his love and, like, talks about his love for her is in this, like, really righteous way.
I was going to say, like entitled.
Like, look at... how pure my love is for her. Nothing could be this pure. No one can be this devoted to another human being. So it must be right because all I want is my Lolita. And it's weird because never once does he express his love for her in a sense of, I love you so much, I just want you to be happy.
Yeah, no agency.
It's not that. It's, I love you so much, I need you to be mine.
Yeah.
And I need to dictate every bit of your life, and I need to possess you.
But in some ways, isn't that a really exaggerated way of how we've been encouraged to love people? Is like all of this, like love songs are like, be mine,
yeah,
be my baby, be mine.
And the whole like romanticization of like abusive relationships in rom coms and romantic movies and things like that.
And he always refers to her as my Lolita right from the beginning.
Yeah,
he takes possession of her.
And her story.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. And then, like, her little bit of narrative that you get is his.
Yeah.
The one way that I feel like people could read into it as feeling sorry for him or at least being conflicted in a way is because the way that he frames it, Lolita makes the first move and Lolita seduces him. But obviously that's not...
No.
I mean, like, everyone out there, if you're a grown adult and a 12-year-old tries to kiss you, just push them off.
It's not irresistible. I believe in you.
Push them away.
Like, yeah.
12-year-olds get crushes on older people all the time.
Yeah.
It is your responsibility as the adult. Do not do anything
about it. Do we get crushes on older people all the time? You've both said this, and I don't think I've ever...
I definitely had a crush on my head teacher at school.
On. Really?
Yeah,
no, I never
year three.
Did.
How old are you in year three?
Eight. Seven.
Seven.
I had a crush on my maths teacher through like all of high school, so that was like 11 to 16.
No, I never, not even...
Maybe all your teachers were ugly.
Oh, all of my teachers, I can vouch for that.
And as we know, Humbert was an attractive man.
Oh yeah, as we've been told many times.
It's so funny the way that he brings it up, because he's like, and I have really good looks, but I'm telling you this because it's relevant to the story, because look at all these women falling in love with me left, right and centre.
It's like the longest humble brag of all time.
Yeah.
He's just like, and I'm not just saying it, it's part of the story, it's relevant, you have to know it.
How you mention it, contextualising, like, it's not just about his love for Lolita, it's about how he treats women.
Yeah.
There's a lot on him and other women as well.
No, he just
I've got a list of all of his ladies. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So at first he was married and he talks about that demise.
Valeria.
And how that was. Yeah, and that sounded relatively healthy, even though very unhappy
she
and fucked up.
She cheated on him.
She cheated on him. He didn't seem to do that much
Did
to
you
her.
Say relatively healthy?
I mean,
as in he doesn't rape her.
I mean, she was his age.
Oh my god. Our standards right now.
Against her. And
he did think about killing her and her lover.
There is that. He didn't though.
He didn't.
I mean, in his defense. Then there's Annabelle, who is the very young 13-year-old. Yeah. Then he meets
Charlotte.
Then he hates.
Who he hates. Yeah. And she sounds very pleasant. I would go for a drink with Charlotte. She sounds great.
Really? I thought she had like a
daughter.
Massive
she's
dick.
A bit of a dick to
yeah.
a daughter.
Yeah, I think they have a competitive thing going on.
Well, they both love really, the same yeah. man.
And then he takes Lolita.
Loves him, but yeah. You know what I mean.
He takes Lolita for a lover, and then he has Rita right at the end as a random distraction, which is a weird plot point to have. I don't know why we needed that. I was like, who is Rita, and why is she here 40 pages
she's
before the end?
I actually quite liked Rita.
Yeah? Rita Skeeter.
So, yeah, I also wanted to have, like, a little chat about the author's, like, intentions and agency, because I've not Googled... Is he called Vladimir?
Mm-hmm. Vladimir.
Haven't given Vladimir a Google yet, but... He's come up with something wholly... We can swear on this, can't we?
Yeah, mate.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Really, really fucked up.
Mm.
I want to know how and why. Like, it's...
Well, this is the thing. What's the... I remember doing this at, like, GCSE.
Death of the author.
No, what's the author's purpose?
What does like, he want
but
to
then there's a whole school
them?
Of thought where people think that you should never look into that and it shouldn't come into the...
Yeah.
Which is why... People who are like, women's writing, you're like, shouldn't even think about it. But at the same time, it is. Who else have we read on this podcast that we've kind of been like, not sure about your intentions?
John Gray.
Oh, yeah. God.
Before that, I think
little bit
been a
Naomi
few
Wolf.
Yeah.
Not crazy amounts, but she always has some kind of agenda.
Yeah.
That makes
Jessie,
it sound like I don't know.
Imperv.
Yeah.
But all of these books we're talking about are non-fiction. This one's fiction.
Yeah.
That's true.
Don't know if that makes a difference. But yeah, I don't really know what to say about Vladimir because I didn't Google him.
Should I give him a Google now?
Cool.
Let's Google him now!
And then we need a sound effect that's like 50-50. Do you remember the 50-50 sound effect? It's like...
Oh my god, I want to watch 50-50.
Oh, what does he look like?
Oh god. Do give him a Google. On first sight, I'd say, well, definitely Hubert.
Humber.
Wrote 9 novels in Russian. So this was written in Russian?
Yeah, man. He's Russian. What do you...
So
Vladimir Nabokov.
Yeah, I gathered that, but I thought
oh,
he wrote
what
it in English.
You thought he was from this country? No, he shouted foreign, was essentially what happened. Just
said. Yeah, so he was a synesthete.
Isn't that what Sana has?
Yeah, I was going to say, synesthesia.
Yeah, his wife and his son and several characters in his novels. Seeing
colours.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a bit
no, you associate colours with things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
so,
Tuesday might be green.
At a young age, he equated the number 5 with the colour red.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Right.
Is there anything about colours in this book? No, not really.
Definitely a lot about senses.
He's a weird man. He focuses a lot on chess problems, politics, and views. He was a classical liberal. He's written 9 other novels. Thank you, Hannah.
You're welcome.
Called The Defense, The Gift, Bend Sinister, Lolita, Nin.
None of them have had this kind of
Pale
attention,
Fire,
though, have they?
Speak Memory.
Okay.
And then Ada or Ador.
Here's the thing I'm most pissed off about.
Okay.
Go on.
I really like the name Lolita, but can never name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was
oh,
literally
God,
thinking
yeah.
this. Because my mum's called Lyria and I'm called Lena.
Oh.
Wouldn't a nice continuation be Lolita?
Lolita. And,
maybe
and,
people will
and
stop.
And her nickname is Lo. I just love that.
Well, if we yeah. make sure in this podcast you recommend that nobody ever reads it ever again, then hopefully we can get out of the canon by the time we all become
are we
going to
reclaim Lolita?
Reclaim Lolita. Hashtag reclaim Lolita.
That's a whole section on Wikipedia about his views on women writers.
Oh, God. It's Nabokov. John Gray all over again.
Oh, wait.
Ported.
Nabokov admitted to having a prejudice against women writers. Prejudice is in quotation marks, so he said it himself. He wrote to Edmund Wilson, who had been making suggestions for his lectures. I dislike Jane Austen and am prejudiced, in fact, against all women writers. They are in another class.
Well, that sounds pride
gosh.
And prejudice.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so this is the kind of thing where that
really
skews... He
was a misogynist on some level.
Our idea of his intent. Mm. What do you think he was trying to do? What can we take away from this book?
I think he was showing off.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe. I actually get that feeling.
His man skills.
Yeah.
Because people
twirling
write...
the ball on his finger going, look at me with the words.
Because I don't think it's got a moral. Like, unless it's the case of, like... It has a moral because the bad guy dies, but Lolita dies too. There's no like, there's no justice for Lolita in it. It's not like a Disney film where the bad guy you like loses and the good guy wins. There's none of that in it at all.
Mm.
And they don't explicitly. other than the preface guy, the PhD guy, like, it doesn't condone it.
Yeah.
Really? It's kind of more of an observation of, like, this is a thing that's happened, and this is the guy talking about it. So I don't really think the book is trying to be moral. Like, it's not trying to be political. It's not taking a side. It's not... If anything, it's more taking his side because it's giving his story and it's not giving Lolita her story.
I think it tries to not be moral in that way, but it also doesn't add to the conversation because I think there's lots of books that don't judge either character but add to your thoughts on those people. Do you think you understand people who fancy children any more than you did before?
No.
But then, yeah, I think this was a like, an example of Nabokov trying to, like, master the Russian language and literature. He wanted this, or he wanted his writing to be like, you know when people make films about stuff they know nothing about just because they want to challenge themselves?
Like, but it's also like how any film about slavery or any film about, I don't know, something else equally horrifying wins Oscars.
Yeah.
And it's,
there is like, it's
directed
like
by a white man.
If you drive past a car crash, you will look because you're like, oh, like it's something gross and grotesque and really kind of
scandalous and taboo, but also it's written in a way that one might consider to be very well written.
So do you reckon the book's purpose is to satisfy our human curiosity into something that is
maybe
horrific?
It takes... Because also, like, Lucy, you were shocked when we were telling you the story that he does actually have sex with Lolita.
Oh my God,
again,
I was stunned.
We all thought it was going to be a dance and a temptation.
And it was
published
in the 50s, right?
Yeah, but marital rape was still legal then.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Basically, we're back in the dark.
The age of consent in the UK. Oh. Obviously, this is set in the US, and he's French.
Was he? I thought he was British.
No, Humbert's French. A lot of his.
I thought he was Belgian.
He's
Swiss. Is he Swiss?
Yeah,
so
he
speaks French because he speaks French a lot.
I thought he was just like an academic, so he just threw French in.
No,
oh, fuck's sake!
He's definitely European and he speaks French, so he's from one of the French-speaking European countries.
You know, it's like one of those people you follow on Twitter who studied philosophy and then every now and then will tweet in French and you're like, we get it!
Or Latin.
Yeah, so he... but then he moves to the US. But in the UK, it wasn't until, like, it wasn't until, like, the late 19th century, so, like, 1890-something or 1880.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Something that the age of consent was raised from 13 to 16.
And that was in the 1890s, so he was just born then.
In the UK. I don't know about America.
But Maybe similar. Maybe.
Yeah, probably similar because the US was a bit ahead of us. Oh, those were the days. But
really?
Yeah, because they got all the like constitution and shit. You know, they modernized.
What we were saying about how we thought it was going to be like just the temptation and just him longing after.
I think that would have been a better craft. In terms of the difficulty of crafting, yes.
Well, that was those are the moments where I kind of like was on his side and I was actually feeling for him.
When he was trying to prevent himself from doing it, that's when he feels most human.
And especially from after reading Perv, when we actually like look at paedophilia as an uncontrollable sexual orientation, then actually if we think of Humbert as someone who has feelings for young girls, and it's not his fault, that's just how he feels about young girls. And then he's like in this situation where he, you know, is incredibly sexually attracted to a young girl, and all of the bits where he's like talking about her and lusting after her but not doing anything about it, and says that just the slightest brush or stroke from her, like just being near her, is like sending him crazy and he has to like control himself. Like, that to me, I was just like, oh, mate, that must be really hard for you, actually. Yeah. But he didn't like Charlotte. He looks around that house to be like, oh, do I want to be a lodger here? Mm. Doesn't like Charlotte, doesn't like the house, hates everything about it.
He's about to leave in an hour.
Yeah, he's about to leave and be like, never mind, I'll find somewhere else. Sees Lilita and goes, I'll take it. So I think someone who has paedophilic thoughts and is serious about controlling them and serious about not acting upon it and serious about keeping kids safe would not have done that.
Yeah.
So immediately I'm like...
You're almost offside.
I'm offside because I'm like, if you had any concern for the well-being of kids that you know that you are potentially a threat around, you would remove yourself from those situations. Mm. He talks about hanging out in parks.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. And that description, I've noted it in my book of him getting a boner when there's a kid beside him at his feet, like picking up a ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's obviously not said, I got a boner, but it's a bit more like danced
when
around. And then someone comes up to him and notices it. And he's like, he like dismisses it. He's like, whatever, they don't understand.
I don't know how to show on audio that I'm shaking my head.
Yeah. When him and Lilita moved to Beardsley, where she goes to school. Beardsley? I don't know.
I like Beardsley.
Beardsley.
Has a sense of puberty about it.
Especially grows up. But he describes the house...
Sorry. Yeah. Start again.
Sorry. He describes the house that they move into, and he describes the view from like the living room window as... the playground. Mm. And he's like super excited that he can see the girls playing from his house. And then he just goes, oh, but the day after we moved in, some construction started and and blocked my view.
Ain't that a pretty sight?
I was like, serves you right, you
peanut. It's like rain on your wedding day, isn't it?
Oh my God.
It's a free ride and you already paid. The other really interesting thing that really, like, I wasn't expecting was how much agency, in some ways, that Lilita had. So while she wasn't given any agency, she's very... is plucky a patronising word? She's very... she talks back. Like, even when he's raped her, or even when there's not... it's implied that he does rape her, and it is clear that he has.
She confronts
she
him.
Says, she says, you've raped me.
Yeah.
But then their relationship doesn't seem to... it doesn't stop her from talking back at him or being sassy or calling him dad in this really sarcastic way.
I think she is clever enough to know that he is besotted and he can't control himself around her. And I think in her situation where she is vulnerable and she knows that she's vulnerable, this is the only way that she can take back any power is through how she just behaves around him and by withdrawing herself from him and kind of messing with him psychologically and
making
teasing
her
him.
Feel like it's her choice to be there.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
So not.
So fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah, because he knows he's doing something wrong. It's not like this uncontrollable thing where he's trying to justify it in himself. He never tries to justify it to himself.
That's so true.
Because he even talks about how he tells Lilita, don't tell the police, don't tell anyone, because if you do, they'll arrest me and then you'll be in an orphanage. So, like, he knows the consequences of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And yet he still goes ahead and, like, threatens her and rapes her. and then gets upset when she throws a tantrum because she's a 13-year-old.
What do people get from this book? I really, like, I'm struggling to see because, like...
I want to, like...
What is the moral?
I want to, like, give Lolita a hug. And I want to be like, are you okay?
Do you want to join Banging Book Club?
Do we need to take you to a women's refuge shelter?
Yeah.
And can I call Rape Crisis and Childline for you?
Yeah. God. Like, do you think that people, you know, because obviously people have been reading this for, like, you know, decades. Do you think our attitudes have changed so drastically towards paedophilia and we're so far removed from that we're just repulsed by it and we can't enjoy it?
Or do you think... Here's the thing that I think we can learn from it, mm-hmm. right? So to everyone around them, to everyone that they meet on their journey, he is Lolita's dad.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't have, like, statistics right now to back this up, but just from my general research and general knowledge in this area, I think it's safe to say that young kids who are... victims of this kind of sexual abuse, it's usually by someone they know, a close family member or a family friend, that kind of thing. And so to the outside world, the relationship looks innocent, but behind closed doors, it's not. And so what I think we can learn from this is to, like, safeguard children better.
Yeah.
And actually, like, have better responses to things and better, I don't know, things in place to, like, help kids in vulnerable situations where what's happening is actually happening out of reach of authorities and the police and social services. I remember a friend of mine who was doing social work at uni was talking about working with some really, really vulnerable kids.
Mm-hmm.
One girl who had been, like, continually, like, sexually abused by her dad, and it had become her norm. So this what she thought was normal. And she loved her dad. And that's one of the things that's a sign, is if the kid, like, to no end will defend their abuser.
Yeah.
It's really weird. But she was saying that they were doing, like, exercises and healthy relationships. And this girl, like, it was just unlearning everything because she didn't know what the difference between, like, a healthy touch and an unhealthy touch was and, like, things like that. Wow. So that's, if anything... That's something we could learn.
Yeah. From is that book. Actually there's a lot of people out there that he's very cunning. There's nowhere in the book, I think, that somebody from the outside could have gone, actually, sir, you're going to have to step with me.
Yeah. Like,
he was so clever about it. And so, you know, there were even moments, and he starts to see this phantom person that's following them around, which we don't think is real.
But, no, but I think it might turn out to be the guy that she runs off with.
I just think the narrative was so unclear.
It must be, though, because she does then admit, like, oh, this was my lover and I fell in love with him, and then he tried to make me do a child pornography, and then I was like, no, and then he kicked her out, and then...
I don't believe anything that the narrator says.
No,
I don't believe anything.
Everything.
Even his portrayal of Lolita as being intelligent, first of all, and being and having some agency and, you know, making some decisions, I kind of don't even believe that level of it.
Yeah.
Including the person following them, including everything. I think you have to take it as... this is the diary of a crazy person. The fact that he's been interested in killing people.
Yeah, and then he does kill someone.
Yeah, I don't take any of that.
I thought he was going to kill Lolita because the quote on the back of the book says, "You can always count on a murderer for a fancy prose style."
Oh my God.
I was convinced he was going to kill Lolita.
That's foreshadowing, really, isn't it?
Because it starts, you know that he's in prison, you know that he's killed somebody.
Well, I didn't know that it was
prison. I didn't know. I knew he was in prison.
I thought he was going to get caught at some point. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because he's always addressing the reader as, like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Yeah.
So he, like... It's interesting. Because maybe he is trying to justify it. Because he's, like, writing it as if the people who are reading it are going to judge him.
Yeah. So he keeps interceding and being like, by the way, if you're thinking this, just bear in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no!
Yeah. And I think there's lots of... There's this whole kind of betrayal, lies and truth thing's really interesting as well. Because when... Lolita finally does go to school and it's amazing. She goes into a stage show, and then this is the bit I've bookmarked actually.
And then
"You're a funny creature, Lolita," I said, or some such words. "Naturally, I'm overjoyed you gave up the absurd stage business. But what is curious is that you dropped the whole thing only a week before its natural climax. blah, blah, blah. And then he gives her a lecture about lies. And he says that he's stupid for even sending her there because that's where she learns how to deceive him. Mm. And it's this whole, and also the kind of idea that she drops out before the climax is really like, sexual.
Yeah. Oh God, the way that he describes things, because obviously he never narrates the sex.
Yeah, that never.
Ooh, he never narrates it, it's always afterwards. But the way he describes it, like, there's one that I can remember where he says, like, oh, I've had my fill of her. Mm. And I was just like, I can't sympathise with someone who uses that language. Can't sympathise with someone who rapes a child.
Yeah.
But there's no attempt to make you sympathise with him when he uses language like that.
Mm. What also appalls me is there's lots of books where people are in pain and it's abuse and it's horrible, and people do usually condone those kind of books more openly, I think. So, like, A Little Life, which won the Man Booker, was, well, runner-up on the Man Booker last year, everyone was like, no, that's just too brutal. Nothing that bad would happen to that man. No, that's just too much. Too disgusting. Who reads this? They must enjoy pain. But there's something about a young child, female child's pain, that apparently everybody finds really fascinating and needs to put on classics lists and study. And I'm like, there's something about that really creeps me out. And now when people say, oh, my favourite book is Lolita, I'm going to stop them and go, look, can you really just explain to me slowly why?
I think, so I really enjoyed the writing and the language of it at the beginning. Obviously, I don't know how the narrative plays out. I don't know how
the language is the same, though.
I enjoyed, I respected and enjoyed the style of writing.
I did like how, when conversations play out, you don't just get like speech marks, speech marks, speech marks, and you're not just reading the conversation. The conversation like happens in prose.
Yeah.
That I actually really liked that as a device, because as someone who finds kind of more classic literature difficult to read, that made it easier for me.
Yeah.
I think the way he writes is quite Victorian, and I think that's because he's this highfalutin person who thinks he's basically a Victorian and he can get away with whatever he wants. Yeah. It's this way of, like, this old way of writing that I think is beautiful, but I don't know, for me I was like, it wasn't any more beautiful than, you know, I wasn't like, oh my
trumpet.
God. Yeah, than Trumpet. Or like Virgin Suicides, which is like a literal masterpiece. You can sit there with a paragraph and be like, this is the most perfect paragraph. Like, I don't know. I wasn't a fan.
I want it from Lolita's perspective.
Yeah.
So I want it to have never happened to her.
Yeah. I got a bit down reading this book, and I got 2/3 of the way through, and I got too depressed about it. Couldn't go on. So I took a little break, and I listened to the audiobook of Lolito, which is a YA book about a boy who breaks up with his girlfriend and goes online and meets an older woman and has sex with her. And that's also really interesting, but funny.
How do you feel about that?
I feel differently about that because he doesn't frame it as abuse, and it's a really interesting, I think it's really, really, really worth a read.
But what does...
But I think it's interesting to have the genders, like, switched, because it is still abuse of power, I think.
But what does the young person know exactly? So imagine if we got a book from Lolita's perspective and she still didn't frame it as abuse. How do we feel about it then?
Differently.
Well, that's, yeah.
Because you'd be like, you're 12, you don't know, this is abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is it different if it's like a young boy not framing it as abuse?
I guess he wasn't kidnapped. He, like, in the book, it's a very soft kind of like shadowing of Lolita, in that he lies that he's 18 and takes her to a hotel and has all the power. Wow. So I guess, yeah, it's different. But side note, if you didn't read Lolita, still read Lolita, because it's bloody great. One of the best YA books I've read.
Lolita, she said.
Yeah.
I really, really want to finish it now, because I feel like...
Really? Still curious?
Yeah. I really, really am, because I'm like, what's the reason that this has the reputation it has? At the moment, I'm going to therapy, and I'm having to think a lot about, like, human consciousness and what we do know about what we think and what we don't know about what we think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, right? And Lena was saying earlier, like, how do people enjoy this book? How do they read it and enjoy it? And I've been thinking a lot about how, like, humans innately enjoy stuff that is forbidden, that is on some level, like, sinister, things they will never explore in their day-to-day lives and actually have no desire to explore in their day-to-day lives.
Can relate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yet they have this, the morbid fascination,
yeah,
but almost on, this curiosity and this desire for rebellion and this desire to, you know, the way you want to be seen reading vagina on the tube, that people want to be
seen. I'm currently reading letters to my fanny and I love getting that out on the tube.
Exactly. And people, you have this strange desire within you, I think pretty much everyone does, to push the boundaries. And I think that will be, Vladimir knew that when he was writing that book. And that's part of the reason why it has this reputation. So is this book him just fucking with us? I think it's his idea. I think he's probably, this is a huge assumption, a precocious man who's writing a precocious book about precocious children and a silly man. But he wanted to do something so radically fucked up.
He's a troll!
Yeah, he's a troll! Yeah.
He's trolling us!
We'll fucking read it because we have this huge interest.
And we're feeding the troll by making
when
a
the troll is on the syllabus, you know,
and
it's gone down.
Also framed as intelligent. You know what I mean? It's like intelligent fuckery. Like, I don't know. There's something about it. Intelligent taboo.
Yeah.
And even
there should be a section
wrong,
in the bookshop called Intelligent Taboo.
There should be. It would have all sorts in it. This whole book club is fucking intelligent taboo, isn't it?
I'll say so.
It really is.
But like that sick thrill, that's what gets people to this book. And they read it for the language, for the prose, for the fucked up character.
Yeah,
for all
and
stuff.
Like fascination breeds fascination as well. Yeah. Because I think the more people go, have you read Lolita, the more people go, oh no. And they want to go, oh yes, I did.
How many people in the last 70 years... wrote about rape in a way that we would frame it today? How many people wrote about rape at all?
Yeah.
No one. So this is one of the only books out there acknowledging rape as rape.
Do you reckon this was
with
like
that quality
asking
prose
for it for the 1950s?
One of the anti-feminists asking for it.
Yeah.
There's something about it though that is so sinister and so wrong. Yeah. That drives people to
it's just, oh, it's dark, man.
Yeah. I think it's put us in a bit of a damper, hasn't it?
It really has. The other thing about that, you know, you were saying, like, reading it on the tube and stuff, I did not want to be seen reading that on the tube.
I felt weird about it when
I had
was.
This weird thing, I was like, if I get Lolita out on the tube and people see me reading it, I just had this weird thought of, like, everyone's going to think I'm a pedo.
Really?
Yeah.
I was worried people would start conversation about it. Ugh. That was my thing.
The worst talking
about it. That was the sort of book, if you read a classic on the tube,
you get some fuck boy coming up to you being like, have you read that? Because you should read On the Road next. Yes. And then maybe
have you tried
Into the Wild.
Kerouac?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Into the
All
Wild.
Our boy's own story.
The Wild. Is it not just a man massaging his ego for like a gazillion
okay,
hours?
Cupid, scroll down to anybody's profile. Books, it will say into
no.
the world every time. Like, I feel like it's that film that they're like, I see myself in him, and I'm like, do you?
I would, that's the thing. I would be suspicious of anyone who, after watching the film or reading the book, doesn't go, what a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or everyone's like, let's go camping. No!
Let's go find myself
like,
on a journey
you know,
of self-exploration.
You know how people say, like, don't fuck somebody... if you go home with somebody and they don't have books in their house, don't fuck them. I'm like, if you go home with somebody and they tell you that their favourite book is Into the Wild and then invite you camping, don't fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not a case of if they don't have any books, don't fuck them. Like, check if they do have any books, also check what they are.
Yeah.
If they're just... The final question that we finish on is, would you have sex with this book?
No fucking way in hell would I have sex with this
absolutely
book.
Not.
I would kick this book out of my house. I'd order it in Uber and then take it to a fucking asylum.
I was going to say, I'll call the police on this book.
Would you have sex with this book, Lena?
I would not have sex with this book. Although it's a very good looking book and you can understand why people would find it irresistible. Oh, it's got such great prose.
Oh my fucking Lord.
On that note... Next month, we're going to be reading How to Build a Girl by Catlin Moran. Will this
refresh my disgusted brain.
Full of consensual sex.
Full of
vibrators.
And masturbation, and it's
I
funny.
I need to read this just in my life.
It is going to lift our spirits for the winter season, and I can't wait. Housekeeping. Hannah, you're good at that.
I'm good at the housekeeping. Mm-hmm. There's a video about Lolita on Lena's channel if you want to watch that. Don't know what you'd get out of it after having listened to this, anything extra, but maybe
give
just
us
our
views.
Faces. Our faces. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Lena said, next month is a Caitlin Moran, which was Reader's Choice, by the way. So yeah. Thanks, guys, for voting on that. And in next month's podcast, we will be announcing our plans for Banging Book Club 2017. Yeah.
We're having a spa day at somebody's house and just talking about the books.
Can it be at your house?
Year. It can be in my house.
Yay.
Sorted, mate.
What else do we need to say? Oh, yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Or wherever you're listening to this.
And rate us and leave us a review because we like that.
I think we'll be doing shout-outs in the next episode for people who leave us reviews. So leave us a nice review.
If you want to get involved in the conversation and you've read Lolita and you want to make a video response.
Or tell us why you liked it.
Exactly. Please use the hashtag BangingBookClub. Any video reviews I will add to the playlist, or you can just chat with us on Twitter.
Yeah, tweet it to us with hashtag @BangingBookClub and your link. Because otherwise, if you just hashtag Banging Book Club on YouTube, we won't fucking find it.
I do. I look at the hashtag Banging Book Club.
Adds it to the playlist.
I check it regularly to add videos to the playlist.
She's a YouTube ninja.
God.
The more we make peace with this, the better. Thanks for listening, guys.
If you want to talk to Lena or Lucy, then you have to mention them on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. You have to, and not just that, you have to like fucking harass me, but please don't.
How should we end this? Pedophiles out.
Okay, we're going to say goodbye without overthinking the fact that we've just read a whole book about paedophilia.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We love you.
But not like that.
But kind of like that if you like us too. No. Only if you're over 18, no. Okay. Bye now. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.